times as moms have we had to use the phrase, because I said so? That phrase, just so you know, is supposed to be all authoritative and no questions asked, but my kids don't seem to know that. So instead, I often hear, but why? But why? For those of you who either haven't had kids yet or your kids aren't quite old enough yet to talk back to you, it's coming, so just wait. Unless you were one of those people that had perfect kids, and if so, I'm going to talk to you after to see what you did to never get your kids to question you. But seriously, we are all sometimes no different than children, because don't we often ask God the same question? Especially when it's something we don't want to do or we don't understand why. So in the story of Deborah, we find a woman who hears the voice of God clearly. The Bible says in Judges 4:4, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at that time." So we know that she was a prophetess. In other words, she was a spokesperson to God, for God. This was especially important during this time because we didn't yet have the Holy Spirit. And so God spoke through his prophets. We know the story of Deborah, but have you ever thought about the story and how it was not recorded that she ever questioned God at all? In fact, we see the opposite. We see a woman who can clearly hear the voice of God and boldly acts upon it. Judges 4:6 through 7 says, "Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, 'Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand.'" Let me tell you, this sounds pretty confident, don't you think? This is a woman who heard the voice of God, clearly did not hesitate or look at the odds, which, by the way, were not in her favor, if you're looking at it without spiritual eyes. They had 10,000 untrained men on foot to Sisera's 900 iron chariots. Let me put it into a perspective for you. Sisera had 900 terror machines. These chariots would have been drawn by as many as 10 horses, and each chariot carried a driver and four archers. It had pockets on the sides of the chariots loaded with extra bows and hundreds of arrows. Iron scales armored the sides of these chariots, and sharp knife blades spun on heavy wheels so that the driver could easily drive right over foot soldiers, cutting them into pieces. Nobody had anything even close to these war machines, and not to mention that Israel did not have iron weapons. I know Evie mentioned that too. So basically, let's put it into this. It'd be like going into battle with a bunch of armored tanks, and pretty much you're meeting them out there without any weapons at all. Can you imagine? And yet you see Deborah, confident as ever and encouraging Barak. "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" she says. You see, she knew she had God's authority. When we hear God clearly, we should be able to faithfully obey and with confidence. This is that moment where we recognize it was because God said. I don't know if any of you have ever heard from God so clearly that there was no doubt in your mind that you would or could do anything in that moment. Because when we have God's confidence, it's certainly easier to obey and be faithful. Let me tell you a little story. When I was pregnant with my last child, I had a lot of struggles, both physically and spiritually speaking. One day I decided to take the kids to the mall, you know, just getting through the day with little ones. And I was driving and trying my best to worship Jesus with the kids in the car. I was singing my heart out, honestly. And I was feeling, quite honestly, like it was kind of a ridiculous attempt. I had kids screaming at me and yelling at me, and Asa even told me to stop. And I said, I'm worshiping my king. And it was a feeble attempt, but I was really trying, okay? I sang some more, and then Asa, my son, in the back says, "Mom, Jesus just told me that you're good enough already." I laughed, okay? I laughed. They said, "Well, God knows my heart," and I tried. So fast forward, we're at the mall, and I'm eating with the kids in the food court. And I see a lady looking at me, and immediately my spirit sensed that she had something she wanted to share with me. So she approached me and tells me that God had a word to deliver me. And after making sure we serve the same God and all, because that's kind of important, I allowed her to tell me the word. Because let's remember, the Bible does say in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, so you must use discernment, of course." Okay. Anyway, she gave me a word. She told me things that only Jesus could have possibly known. The timing, the exact verbiage, and I knew it was God. She even told me when she started, "God says you're good enough already." which was a real confirmation for me at that moment, which probably sent me into tears and everything. So, which happened to be the exact verbiage my four-year-old had just used an hour before. Then she continued and explained to me some things about the unborn child in my womb. She prophesied over this child, never asking any questions. She warned me about the spiritual attacks I was experiencing and told me that the enemy did not want this child alive, but God had other plans. Also, up to this point, and even from the first time I found out I was pregnant with this child, we had been struggling with a middle name because I knew it needed to mean something. I kept feeling like the Lord was promising me this child, despite even early scares of miscarriage. She went on to tell me that she saw many people at his birth, and there was going to be a struggle. But God had already proclaimed promises over him. Fast forward a few months, and I was given birth. The baby was very large and ended up getting stuck and having shoulder dystocia during delivery. Before I knew it, I was surrounded by an entire emergency staff of doctors, nurses, and who knows who else. I only remember it immediately becoming quite crowded in the room. There was about probably 7 new doctors and nurses and other people preparing for the worst. His birth was now a matter of life and death. All I could think of during those scary moments was, God had made a promise. He has said these things. This child will live to see these things prophesied over his life. The enemy will not take him. And wouldn't you know that this child came into the world surrounded by at least 7 hospital members, plus my mom, 2 of my sisters, another sister via Skype, my dad hiding behind the curtain, and my husband. So that was a total of about 13 people in the birthing room, okay? And for those of you who have delivered, you know that's a lot of people in one birthing room. But the really amazing and beautiful part of this whole story is that during this traumatic time, I had family praying fervently for both me and the baby, interceding on our behalf. The room was filled with prayers, and all the hospital staff were witness to God's power. The doctor had said he had broke the baby's shoulder to get him out. When my dad heard this from behind the curtain, he immediately started praying over the baby and praying healing over him. And so after the baby was born, the doctor went to assess him better and said it was no longer broken, even though he had a big bruise on his shoulder, okay? And it was a moment where we could praise God. I know, whether the doctors ever know it or not, that God healed him in that moment. So you can see God was at work that day. He had it under his control, and it was for his glory. Some of the nurses later told one of my sisters it was one of the most intense births she'd ever been to, but it was an amazing peace in the room, even commenting how they felt the power of prayer that day. Doctors and nurses witnessing the power of God. But it certainly didn't end there, guys, as you know. My baby was hospitalized at 10 days old with RSV and pneumonia, and the enemy has continued over the years to try to take what is not his. But I have to return to what God has said. You see, God's promises, God's words, no matter how loud and clear, or no matter how still and quiet, are still God's words. Now, don't get me wrong, I personally find it so much easier to obey and trust God when it's like really loud and clear. But sometimes God's message to us is quiet. But I can tell you, it doesn't matter if it's quiet or loud. The enemy will always, always try to steal your peace, your promise, your hope. He'll try to bring in doubt and fear. We already know, though, that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So even to this day, the enemy will try to bring me to a place of fear when it comes to this kid. And anybody who knows this child of mine can attest that he's had more accidents, more sicknesses, more of everything. So I know the enemy is still at work. And we named his middle name Amariah, which means God has said, God has spoken. Amen. Because he had already spoken life and promises for this child. I will tell you, though, the one thing I have remembered over the years was that when God says something, he is true to his word. Amen. Yes, I'm human and I struggle. But when I get to the end of myself and I'm sick of worrying, it's like this aha moment. And I remember, why did I worry so much? Like, I question myself every time, actually. It's kind of this thing that happens every time. But I will say that as God continues to grow me in this department, I surrender things to him quicker than I did the last time. And there's beauty in that, believe me, I can tell you that. It's nice not having to worry. So, the power of he said, though, as in God said, is not limited to big events, people. God is never limited, amen? Amen. So, let's get back to the story of Deborah. This was a woman who heard God's voice and acted boldly because she was faithful, because she knew the power of God, and because she didn't allow the spiritual enemy to convince her that they were no match for Sisera's iron chariots and his infamous army. No, she had already seen the victory. She knew God would receive glory. In fact, something I've thought about before is that she was so certain that God would deliver that she even had already had an answer for Barak when he said that he would only go if she went with him. Which she said she certainly would, but that God would deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. And that makes me think that God probably either gave her a dream or a vision and told her what to say to Barak, but she already knew what his response was going to be and gave him another outcome. But God gave Barak first choice on how he would proceed. Both outcomes would be God's victory, of course. But there was no detail left out when it comes to God. God already knew how Barak would respond, and Deborah already knew what God would have her tell him when he said, "Only if you go with me." You see, God had a plan, and God's plan always works because he does not fail, even when we do. And that's the confidence I'm talking about. We can be sure that when God calls us to something, or gives us a word, or even if it seems scary or uncertain, or even if it's something we don't like, that his ways are always better than our own. So I just kind of was talking about the power of he as in God when God says something. But now I want to kind of change the subject just for a bit, and I want to talk about Deborah as an intercessor. When I think about Deborah's qualities, I think of a woman who was God-fearing, faithful, obedient, well-respected, obviously, but ultimately she was also an interceder for Israel. Who knows that God calls us to intercede for one another? I think about the meaning of words quite often. And when I was praying about Deborah's call and what we were going to talk about, I kept being drawn to this part of the scripture. In Judges 4:4-5, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Well, we already know that the Old Testament is full of symbolism, but I was curious what a palm tree represented. And apparently a palm tree represents righteousness. Maybe because it stands so straight up, is in right standing. So it's got me thinking. So I did find some commentaries when I was studying, and this was actually pretty interesting. I'm going to quote some of it, so not all of this will be my words. But when we go to the Bible verses that talk about palm trees, there is one in Psalms 92:12 that may give us a clue. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. So perhaps the palm was a symbol of her standing with God, or that righteous judgments were given from that place or position of standing. The commentaries, though, really go a little bit further into looking at the meaning of some of the words used in Judges 4. So it says, she used to sit between Ramah and Bethel, okay, in the hill country of Ephraim. So Ramah actually means high place, or as in seat of idolatry. And Bethel means house of God, with Ephraim translated as double fruit or fruitfulness. So now if we're going to put these into terms, it may paint a different picture here. Now Deborah, a prophetess, or one who speaks, arranges, or subdues, a spokesperson of God, by the power of God, the wife of Lapidoth, which his name meant, one who shines like a lamp, was judging Israel at that time, and she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah, or in the place of righteousness, between the high place, or seat of idolatry, and Ramah, and the house of God, which would be Bethel, in the hill country of fruitfulness, which is Ephraim, where she resided. And the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. So the imagery becomes more clear here. Deborah was raised by God to judge the ways of Israel from the place or position of righteousness and to intercede for his people, to stand in the gap and speak against the idolatry in Ramah in the hearts of the children of Israel, and for them to turn to the house of God in Bethel and to inherit godly fruit in Ephraim instead of the fruit of the enemy. So she was not only a judge, a prophetess, but she was more. She was an interceder. Deborah had several jobs spiritually speaking, but this job was to declare the will of the Lord and to keep his people from eating the fruit of their own ways. So you may be thinking at this point, like, what does this have to do with me today? And I ask you, though, when was the last time you really saw a woman like Deborah in a position where she was commanding armies in the name of the Lord? Well, we as women, mothers, wives, may not be in a position of commanding armies, but that does not change the fact that we do have jobs of interceding for our husbands, friends, children, brothers, sisters in Christ, and even our nation. We can still be in a place of righteous standing with God, standing in the gap of the world and the house of God. Who knows that while we may not be commanding armies, there is a war being waged in the spiritual world. There's a battle every day. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There is for sure a spiritual battle going on, and just because we can't see it with our eyes does not mean it's not going on. So the Lord's instructing us to put on the full armor of God, and the armor of God would indicate a battle, right? We are and will be at a battle until God returns. We have loved ones who are in battles that we don't even know about. We have the ability, though, to stand in the gap or to intercede on behalf of one another. Do you know the power of being able to stand in the gap for others? Do you know that when you make it to heaven, you may finally see all the people who stood in the gap for you that you never even knew about? When was the last time you fervently and faithfully prayed for others? Or are you like me sometimes, and when you don't see answers right away, you just want to give up? I know probably some of you have prayed for some people in situations for years, wondering, why, when, Lord? Look at Deborah, though. The people of Israel cried for 20 years before God sent them to destroy Sisera. We are not in God's time, and we do not always understand, but God says to pray fervently. A few years back, my sister and I decided to stand in the gap for some loved ones. We committed to praying with each other for 40 days straight, and we didn't miss a day. We were both busy homeschooling, raising kids, and to top it off, we didn't even live near each other, so it was a daily phone call at that. I'll tell you, though, that in those 40 days, while challenging, were life-changing for me. For the first time in my entire Christian life, and I've been a Christian since I can remember, I saw the power of God, and we saw God move. Amen. We saw a marriage restored, and for me personally, it changed my views on praying. It really did. And I'll tell you that my husband also saw the power of God, and it was witnessed to him as well. And God was glorified. For the first time in my entire Christian life, I understood the importance of intercession. James 5:17-18 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth provided its fruit." Let those words sink in for just a bit, because for me it did. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. When I think of Elijah, I think, wow, what a man of God, and he had a nature like ours. So we see God did amazing things with this man of faith, but he also had a nature like ours. The good news is that God can work through us because he says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So in other words, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. God worked through Deborah, and if you'll remember, she resided in the land of fruitfulness and in righteous standing, standing in the gap for Israel. We too can reside in the land of fruitfulness. Your life can bring forth fruit, and it should. You can be in right standing with God, and you can stand in the gap for others. Basically, ladies, to sum this all up, we can rest assured that when God says something, we can count on it. We can be confident and obedient, and we can and should intercede for one another. God calls us to intercede. There's power in God's words, and we can glorify God in everything we do. I want to encourage anybody who has doubted a promise or a word that God has given you. I want you to know that you can count on God to be true, even if you haven't seen it happen in the timing that you expect. And you can hold fast knowing that God has everything in his control. And you can trust him even when the enemy is fighting fiercely against you. Okay? Amen.
Thank you, Chrissy. Sheena, if you'll come up.